Friends in Jesus, grace and mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior. Again, the words of Leviticus chapter 19, verse 2. Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. This is God's word. Please be seated. Well, the wildly popular movie Forrest Gump had a line in it that really caught on in the popular culture, and to this day it is still used by some people. The line was this: stupid is as stupid does. In that movie, Tom Hanks played a man with a below-average intelligence, and other people, especially when he was a child, were always making fun of him for being stupid. But his mom would tell him, stupid is as stupid does. In other words, she was saying that people do what they are. Stupidity isn't so much about how smart you are or how aren't. Stupid people are the ones who do stupid things. And if another child calls Forrest stupid, then by their own actions, they show themselves to be stupid for treating other people in such a horrible way. Stupid is as stupid does. The tree is known by its fruit. Now apply that to the concept of holiness. You shall be holy, for the Lord your God is holy. And at first blush, that might sound to you like the most ridiculously, outlandishly impossible law that has ever been put on the books. You shall be holy. What? How? And the Catechism teaches us that to be holy means to be without sin. Without sin. Yeah, that's going to happen when the Jamaican bobsled team wins gold medal. Who makes laws like that are impossible to achieve? Well, besides the IRS, maybe. They actually expect you to fill out a tax return, you know, correctly. Yeah, like that's ever going to happen. But can you imagine, for example, a math teacher who requires her students to count to infinity to pass her class? What's the point in even trying? Why would a teacher be so cruel as to set up such an impossible standard and set up her students to fail? Nobody can count to infinity. And nobody can be holy, can be without sin. What's the point of even trying? And why is God so cruel as to even set up such a standard for us and set us up to fail? Could we be looking at this passage all wrong? What if this statement, you shall be holy, is not a command at all? What if it's a promise? You see, the key to unlocking the power of this text is not that we try to achieve holiness in our lives, which would be impossible anyway. The key is to understand who God is and what He has done to make you holy. You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Do you see it? God declares you to be holy. You shall be holy. It's a promise. Because I am holy, and you are bound to me, now you shall also be holy. It is a whole new take on this Bible verse. And it begins with who God is and what He's done for us in Christ. He gave us His Son. Christ died for us to redeem us from our sins and to save us from the guilt and to guarantee a place for us in His eternal kingdom. And Paul says in Romans 6 that we are bound to this Jesus Christ. We are bound to Him by our baptism. And in baptism we share with Jesus in His death to sin, but we also share with Jesus in His resurrection to a newness of life. And if holiness is to be without sin, isn't that exactly what we are in Christ? Christ made it possible. Is he not the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world? And if he takes away our sins, aren't they gone for good? The Bible says your sins have been drowned in the depths of the ocean. They're gone. They are gone. They will never be dredged up and used against you. Your sins are gone. And that means that you are without sin. And that's what it means to be holy, isn't it? Which is why the Lord declares, "You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." And that's why St. Peter says in his first epistle, "You are a holy nation. You are a people belonging to God, so that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of the darkness." You see, that's the thing about holy people. They do holy things in praise to God. Holy is as holy does. Just as stupid deeds flow from stupid people, holy deeds flow from holy people. One Thanksgiving day at noon, little 6-year-old Felicia was helping a group from her church serve a Thanksgiving dinner at a local shelter for the homeless. And when she had placed this steaming dinner roll on one man's plate, this man asked this little girl why she was there at this homeless shelter and not at home on Thanksgiving Day. And this little girl, wise beyond her years, declared, "My grandpa says that Thanksgiving should be a holy day for everyone, and we should make sure to show it. Now keep moving. Somebody else needs a roll." Man, that's almost a mission statement, isn't it? Now keep moving. Somebody else needs a role. But that's what holiness looks like. God made us holy so that by our holy deeds and our love for others, even our enemies, others will see the holiness of our God. Again, Peter said, "You are a holy nation. You are a people belonging to God, so that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of the darkness into His marvelous light." You shall be holy. It's a promise, not a command. You are a holy nation. Christ has removed your sin from you as far as the east is from the west. Now, holy is as holy does. Or as Peter said again in his first epistle, "Do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance," because that would be stupid. Do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. "But he, as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" Holy is as holy does. So we go back to our text from Leviticus 19 to see what holiness actually looks like. We read in verses 9 and 10. "When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap the field right up to its edge, neither shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest, and you shall not strip your vineyard bare, neither shall you gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord your God." What does holiness look like? It looks like a farmer who, instead of laying claim to every thing that belongs to him, every last kernel of grain, every last grape on his vine, instead of laying claim to all of that, he intentionally leaves some of his crop unharvested so that the poor may glean from his field and be supplied. In other words, holiness looks like generous living toward your neighbor. And then we read in verses 11 through 18, "You shall not deal falsely with each other. You shall not lie to each other. You shall not oppress your neighbor or rob him. The wages of a hired servant shall not remain with you until morning. You shall not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block for the blind. You shall do no injustice in court. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great, but in righteousness shall you judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother. You shall reason frankly with your neighbor. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. That's what holiness looks like. It looks like a child of God who controls his tongue, who deals honestly in business, who pays his workers an honest wage and does not try to take advantage of them. It looks like a judge who actually rules impartially. It looks like a neighbor who defends your reputation, like a neighbor who settles a dispute quickly, or a friend who forgives you your offense, or a person who loves you as he loves himself. That is holy living. That's what it looks like. It is a reflection of the holiness of God that has been brought to bear in you through Jesus Christ, his Son. Is it easy to live this holiness? No. The world rewards selfishness, not holiness. And it's hard to buck the world system. But, as you heard last Sunday, you can do it. You can. And why? Because I, the Lord your God, am holy. That's why. You are bound to a holy God by your baptism. You are cleansed of your sins, focused on this God, filled with faith in this God, and by the power of Christ's resurrection in you, you can do it. Holy is as holy does. There was an experiment with some monkeys in which the trainers would put these monkey treats, pieces of banana and so forth, into this sealed container that had only a small opening in it. And the monkeys would reach through this small opening and they would grab the treats inside, but with their hands full, they weren't able to pull their hands back out of the container. And they couldn't figure out how to get the treats out. And with their hands inside the container, they'd bang the container and they'd shake it around and they just could not get the treats out. Until finally the trainers taught them what they needed to do. And they learned that the only way to get the treats out of that container was to let go and to dump the contents of the treat container on the table and to share it with all the other monkeys who were in the room. What a lesson that is for us as ones who want to live a holy life. Because God made us his children. And he bound us to Jesus Christ in our baptism. And he took away our sins. And he declared us to be holy. We are able to lead a holy life. To unclench our tight fist. And to release God's gifts to others. D.T. Niles is a retired bishop in South India. And he once defined evangelism as one beggar showing another beggar where the bread is. My friends, because God's Son died for us and for all people, and Felicia and we are now able to see those who need a role and to respond in holiness of life toward our neighbor. So let's keep moving. Holy is as holy does, and somebody else needs a role. In the name of Jesus, amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.